Amen. Well, it is good to be back together. I missed you all last week. And on my way, my last day or two in Texas, I began to realize that I really missed this crazy place called Belfair. So, thanking God for a great trip and also for the affirmation that I've got a new home and a new family. And so, excited to return to you all and and good to be here this morning. If you will turn in your copy of Scripture to Matthew chapter 2. We are in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, the one that the wise men met that day in Israel, we have gathered this morning to meet you too. Just as they found you, as they ran into your presence and were overwhelmed with joy, would you fill our hearts with the joy at the reality of your presence here with us as well. Father, we come to your word longing to hear from you, longing to be made more like you. We come to your word with hearts that need to be encouraged. We come to your word at the beginning of a new year still looking for wisdom on how to move ahead. And so, Father, here we are. Open hearts, open ears, open eyes, open minds, asking you to have your way among us. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This past Wednesday, Christians around the world observed what we call Epiphany. And Epiphany is the celebration of the wise men's visit to Jesus Christ. If you notice in Scripture these verses that we just read, nowhere does it say that these were three kings, and nor does it ever say that there were three of them. We know that there were three gifts that were offered, but we don't know how many were carrying these gifts. Not really a sermon on that, but just an encouragement to read Scripture often and to read Scripture carefully, because sometimes what we even think that we already know good and well, we don't really know at all. And that's why Bible study can be so fun. Because of Epiphany this week, I've been thinking a lot about the wise men, and I've been thinking a lot about us as the people of Belfair Community Church. And I've been amazed at how it seems in so many ways their story informs our story. We've got these men from the east. They're astronomers or astrologers, it seems, by trade. Magi is what they're called in some places. Wise men, scholars. And upon seeing this unusual star in the sky, they begin to make their way to Jerusalem to try to figure out what it could mean. And as soon as they get to Jerusalem, we don't know how long the journey took, maybe days, maybe weeks, maybe months, maybe a year. But as soon as they get there, they begin to ask around, certain that the Jews right there would know of all people where to find their promised king. I imagine they were surprised to find that for some reason only they had caught the memo. King Herod eventually gets word of these inquiring wise men in the city, and so he invites them over to meet the true king. That's what he has in mind. He asks them about the star and its significance. He's trying to play it cool and seem unalarmed in front of them, but on the inside, we know Herod enough to know that he was truly panicked, insecure as he was. Herod sends the wise men out to find this baby, this child king, and he gives them clear instructions to report back to him on the child's whereabouts so that he too might go and pay him homage. Stepping out of the palace that day, these wise men look up and they see that star that they saw weeks, months back. They see it again, and this time it has stopped. Filled with joy, they follow the star. And just like that, they're in the presence of the King of the Jews. Just like that, these foreigners got to see the Messiah with their own eyes. Just like that, they were face to face with the living God. What brought them into Christ's presence that day? It's a good question. Curiosity, it seems, if nothing else. There was a stirring inside of them that at one point said something must be brewing out west, and we don't want to miss it. What brought them into Christ's presence that day? Perhaps it's eyes that were set heavenward, that were amazed by the mystery of creation and this constant longing to understand the one who was behind the mystery of it all. What brought them into Christ's presence that day? In that final stretch of the journey, if nothing else, there was a bit of obligation. They had been ordered to go and find that child. Maybe that's what brought them there. King Herod had told them what to do, and on they went. One of the guys in the group may have been the leader, the dreamer, the go-getter, pushing all the other ones along. Some others in the group, they may have been followers, not so thrilled about packing up their bags in the moment and heading out on this journey to who knew where to find who knew what. But in their willingness to be led, in that one's willingness to lead, they all somehow found themselves stumbling into the presence of the living God. And so it seems to be with us. Here in this room, it seems that we have come to Christ for so many different reasons. Our initial walk with Him began for some in a time of absolute desperation, when you had tried everything apart from Jesus on your own, only to hit rock bottom more times than you could count. And finally, in surrender, you came. Others in this room might say, you know, I never was really all that far from Jesus. I was raised in a home that loved Him, and I learned at a young age that I should love Him too. And so as a child, some here began seeking Him earnestly. And despite all sorts of twists and turns along the path, they continue to seek Him today. Some here perhaps came to Christ because they had a friend that was that leader, that go-getter, the pushy one, who said, you have to come. You have to come and give this a try. And so you followed along. Some perhaps stumbled into the presence of Christ because of their own sense of holy curiosity. They too sensed there was more going on in this world than met the eye. And with this propensity to wonder and question and explore, somehow they just found Jesus and all of that. And it seems that we continue to come into His presence day after day, week after week, for reasons just as varied. For many in this place, what began as this passionate pursuit of Christ, at some point, if we're honest, has become a bit more of routine or expectation. We pray and we sing and we study and we do this thing called church together more because God has asked us to or because our spouse expects us to, and less because our hearts are burning with this passion like we had when we first began to fall in love with Him. Some of us continue to seek Christ's presence because we know how hopeless we'd be without Him, utterly aware of that each week, and so we come stumbling in, wondering where He is. Some continue to have questions and doubts, curiosities that only He can solve. Some continue to feel drawn by this love that has been there all along, and the longer you find you walk with Him, the more intense you find that love becomes. Yes, our motivations for being here this day on a Seahawks playoff game day of all days are many, but the one who has called us to this place is just the same. And perhaps why we came into the presence of Christ in the first place half an hour ago isn't quite as important as what we do once we get here, now that we're together. The wise men, upon entering the home and seeing that child, Jesus, they immediately bowed down and worshiped. All of a sudden, at the sight of that king, it didn't really matter who was the leader in the group and who was the follower, for now they were all one in His presence. It didn't matter anymore who drug their feet when they were leaving Persia or wherever they came from, and who was so anxious to get out the door that day that he even forgot to tell his wife where he was going and he might not be back for a few months. All of their hearts now in this place were unified. They were racing. All of their feet were stuck to that holy ground, unable to move. Whatever brought them there, however straight or crooked the path had been, it was all secondary now. For now they were there in the presence of the King, and unbeknown to them in that moment, in the presence of God. And all they could do was stop and bow down and worship. In time, they began to fumble and reach for their bags. And one by one, they presented this child with the finest gifts they had to offer. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, gifts that were fit for a king. In that place, in the presence of God, these wise men got a lot of things right. These guys who shouldn't have even known Him, they got a lot of things right. They knew in that moment that they were not the main attraction in that place, but Jesus was. And so they worshiped fully there, not distracted by the temperature in the room, or by the time on the clock, or by the expectations of anyone else around them. In that place, they humbled themselves. They exalted the name of Jesus, and they offered gifts from their own bags. They rushed into Jesus' presence, but they didn't rush out of it. And though they may have had 1,000 things on their minds before they entered that home that day, once there, they had one focus. And that was to simply soak in this encounter with the Holy Child until they felt that they had got all there was to get in that place. And yet, and all they did right, one thing they missed. You know, they knew they were in the presence of someone special, of a king. But they couldn't have known that this king was actually God Himself come to earth. So what they missed, really at no fault of their own, was the gift that our God has always wanted most of all. And that's the gift not of the money in our pockets, but of the hearts in our own chest. What Jesus always wanted was not just their gold, but them, their lives, their hopes and their dreams and their ambitions, their passions, and their time. What Jesus wanted was them, was their love. And it seems that Jesus had all of them for about an hour or so that day. But then they went home. And I can't help but wonder, did they ever come back to see what had become of this king? These were guys who studied the skies. I can't help but wonder that day, 33 or so years later, when the earth turned dark at noontime, those guys who were so fascinated by the heavens, did they somehow in their gut know that that darkness was tied to the death of the very one whose birth had lit up the skies a few decades before? Did they ever truly know not just Jesus, the King of the Jews, but Jesus, the King of the wise men, the King of the Gentiles, the King of us all? Did they ever know Jesus the Lord, Jesus the Savior? I hope they did. And I hope even more than that, that we do. Whatever it is that brings us into this place of worship week after week after week, whether it be this holy hunger and passion, or a sense of obligation, or a nagging spouse, or even this inner pressure that you put upon yourself to raise your children in the church, whatever brings you here, whatever brought you here this very morning, I pray that now, being here, we might all heed the invitation to simply pause and be here and fully worship in this place. I pray that we may know that the Jesus who promised to be with us when two or more are gathered is here among us. And I pray that knowing he is here, that we may have nothing more important to do with ourselves than simply soak up his nearness. I pray that we begin amongst ourselves to feel our feet becoming so very heavy, so overwhelmed by his holy presence that we can't even imagine wanting to leave anytime soon. I pray that our hearts that might have been hard as stone just moments ago might begin to beat again in this very place as we fix our eyes on the God who is here with us. And I pray that we all might open ourselves up to the Spirit who fills this room this morning, seeking to breathe new life into any who might welcome him in and surrender. And I pray before long that we will begin to open our bags, looking at what we have and considering what might be a good gift for our King. He will smile at our financial gifts. For sure. He will delight in our sacrifices of time. This day and age, that's for sure. But as we give him those things, let us not forget the best thing. That what our Jesus wants most of all isn't our things at all, but it's us. All that we are. You see, it seems looking at the wise men, that just simply hanging out in a room with Jesus for an hour or so isn't what we've been called to do. We have been called to worship him, to obey him, and to love him. Regardless of what brought you here this day, now that you're here, won't you slow down for just a moment and take some time to just love him really well? And worship. And finally, then, just as important as what they did while they were in the presence of Jesus was what they did when they left. The wise men are warned in a dream not to return to Herod, and so it says they return to their country by another road. It's this kind of short, ambiguous, rather vague concluding sentence to the story. but I believe it's packed with significance for the wise men and for us. You see, these guys, they had been given executive orders by the king to find that baby and to report back on his whereabouts. Their refusal to do so was no small deal. If these guys were found sneaking around, intentionally avoiding the king on their way back to Jerusalem, you can be sure they would have been done for. Herod was already anxious about this baby king. The last thing that Herod wanted was these foreigners who were buying into these shenanigans, going off and telling other Jews and other foreign leaders that there was a new king in Israel. Their decision to go home by another way was potentially very costly for them, potentially deadly, in fact. And yet, they were so changed by this simple encounter with Jesus Christ that this new way home seemed worth every risk they could imagine. Amazing. Not only that, but were they to report to Herod? Can you imagine? Their immediate reward would have been so very great. He would have lavished upon them gifts and honor, surely replacing the things they had taken from their bags and given to him a hundredfold. They could have used their encounter with Jesus to really make something of themselves. And yet, instead, they would choose to disappear into the quiet, never to be heard from again. Just the same magi, astronomers they had always been. So unknown, even their names aren't recorded, or how many, or exactly where they came from. We know nothing. Who knows what might have happened had they run to Herod and cashed in on the prize that was due them. Would Jesus have made it to adulthood? Would Joseph and Mary have been spared? Who would have taken that baby to Egypt and kept him safe until Herod's reign was done? You see, the wise men, they couldn't have known all the implications of their choice to listen to the dream, to follow their hunch, and to let Jesus live in peace. But they were changed enough by being in his presence that the longer, windier, off-the-beaten-path road home was the way they chose. They chose the way that would let Jesus live. They met him, and they went home another way. Because it turns out, it seems, when we seek Jesus, and when we find him, and when we truly worship him, we simply can't go back the same way we came. We can't go back the same. And you know, that's where the wise men begin to convict my heart, and I think propose a challenge for us all. Because I sense, after only being here for 5 months, I sense that we're kind of like people everywhere. And I sense that week after week, we come and we go. We sing and we pray and we open scripture together. And we go back home the same way we came. The same route home. Even more than that, to the same things we were doing before we encountered Jesus. To the exact same habits and mess that consumed us before we actually worshiped. I sense that so often we come and we enjoy this hour or so in his presence, but we don't really want to be so inconvenienced by the longer, more tedious, windier, less known road home that we just kind of leave Jesus at church and tell him that we'll catch him again next week. I sense for myself, I come, I preach, I lead prayers, and yet week after week I sense that I go home and I continue to spend way too many hours on social media. when I know there are healthier ways that I could connect with God and others in that space. I come and I worship and I go home and I continue to ignore the broken relationships in my life that are not reconciled. Though I know God could do some incredible healing work in those if I just worked a little with Him. Home by the same road. Some of us come and worship, and the first time something doesn't go our way when we get home, we turn back to that same drug, be it alcohol or pot or a Netflix binge, to escape the stress and to numb ourselves until the pain is gone. Home by the same road. And we find ourselves wondering years into our Christian walk why we still struggle to really trust Jesus and to really let God be God. And we begin to wonder why 2015 wasn't really all that different spiritually than 2014 or 2013. And if we take a minute to think about it, it's probably because we've rarely given God the chance to show up in those hard places and to lead us through the hard things and to grow us up in Him on the new road home. When things get hard, how quickly we go back to the old way. God is in the hard stuff with a new way. When we come to this place and when we go from this place, do we leave resolved to walk down the new roads of life and of love and of sacrifice, the roads of compassion, the roads of peace? Or do we so quickly jump right back into those all too familiar roads of resentment and fear, of abuse and addiction, the roads of selfishness and laziness, the roads of indifference and chaos? You see, too often I fear we come and we worship in the presence of God, and before the day is even past, we're back on that same road, because the one where Jesus actually gets to live is far too inconvenient. It's much too unknown. It's far too demanding. And so in some ways, we walk out these doors. We kind of resolve to look after our own lives, doing whatever it is that we want to do, going wherever it is that we want to go, even if it means Jesus doesn't really get to live. It's okay. But my friends, I'm here to proclaim this morning it's a new year. And I don't know about you, but I'm ready to discover some new roads. I'm ready to be utterly changed by the God who meets us here in this space week after week. And I'm ready to quit leaving this God here between Sundays. I'm ready to ignore the pleas of Herod that say, come back the same way you came. Keep your comfort and your habits at the risk of letting Jesus slip away. I, for one, am ready to let Jesus live this year than perhaps I've ever let Him live before. And my prayer, my desperate, tear-filled, gut-wrenching prayer is that we as a church are ready too. You see, we've met our Jesus here. Friends, let's go home by another way. Let's allow ourselves to actually be changed, not just in tiny ways, but radically so. This week, starting today, when life hurts, let's resolve together not to pick up the drink or take the hit, but to give Jesus a chance to actually be Jesus. This week, when fear comes pouring in, let's resolve together not to pull the covers up over our heads and become paralyzed, but to step out in faith, letting Jesus be Jesus. This week, when the anger and the hatred creep back in again, Let's resolve not to just push away the enemy or the stranger, but let's try out this thing called embrace, this thing called love. Let's actually let Jesus be Jesus. Whatever it means for you this week, let's let Jesus live. More than ever before, let's choose the new road home, the road that lets Jesus live. And perhaps we start simply by realizing that we don't have to walk this new road alone. You see, the wise men, they had each other. And look around this place. You've got us. Before you leave here today, I know there's a game on TV, but this is more important. Before you leave here today, might you find someone, and to that person, might you name that thing that keeps you from letting Jesus be fully alive in your life? Might you pull me aside or another and let us know what road you are tempted to return to and invite us to try out this new road by your side? I can guarantee you it would be my privilege. It would be your brothers and sisters in Christ privilege to walk with you on a new road. Might you not leave this place of worship until you've got the support you need to try another way home? Together, let's help each other let Jesus live. Let's make 2016 the year of coming to this place of worship more fully than ever before. And let's make it the year of going home another way each and every time we leave. A year of actually being changed. Because in it all, Jesus, we want you to live. In us, come and live. This day we are trying a new way. Jesus, come and live. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I thank you for these brave, wise men who were so changed by an encounter of worship with you that they put their lives on the line, changed all their plans, threw out all their comforts, and went home another way. Father, they changed what they were doing geographically, but more than that, I see hearts that were changed. All of a sudden, not after their own interest, but after the interest of this child named Jesus. And so may it be with us. Father, may we actually choose a new way home. May you change us this year in the big ways, in those things that have kept us in the same rut for far too long, and the things that have kept us from experiencing the fullness of your love and your power. Father, show us a new way this year. Be fully alive in us as we walk this path together. Lord Jesus, come and live in me, in us, we pray. Amen.